Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 267 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Centennial Baseball today, and we'll also discuss the upcoming MLB Amateur Draft a little bit. Leading off is the longtime head coach of the Jaguars. He has guided 5th-ranked Centennial to a 28-10 record this season, and the Jaguars finished 2nd in the CIML Conference with a 17-7 mark. He's won 568 games in his career, including 256 since he started the Centennial program in 2013. In January, he was inducted into the Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. He is Mark High. Coach, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me here.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team has had another great season. You guys are just 2 wins shy of the school record 30 victories that you achieved a year ago. And with the top seed in your Class 4A sub-state bracket, you know, you appear to be well-positioned to maybe get those 2 wins to tie the mark, and that would allow you to qualify for the state tournament for the first time in school history. You know, do you feel pretty good about where the team is at right now?
Yeah, I do. You know, outstanding group of young men, and they've worked hard all year. And I know they're very excited about what they have the possibility to do in the postseason. And, you know, our practices have been very good. And, you know, they're playing, I think they're playing at a very high level right now.
Well, your team closed out the regular season on Tuesday with a 1-0 victory over Valley. Emerson Alberhowski tossed a 4-hitter and had 6 strikeouts in the shutout, and he needed just 79 pitches to go the distance. He told me afterwards that he's added a cutter to his repertoire now, and that allows him to mix 5 different pitches. You know, he was really efficient, wasn't he?
Yeah. He, you know, his first pitch was strike one, and that's a big part of his success. And he had them swinging, and you know, we always use the phrase swing and miss hit rather than swing and miss. And he had them definitely out on their front foot a lot, and you know, challenged them inside. And you know, I thought he just pitched an outstanding game.
Well, the guy sitting here with us, Joey Oakey, went 2-for-2 with a walk in the win, and he drove in Isaac Brule with the game's only run on an infield single in the 6th inning. Now, Joey is obviously known mostly for his pitching ability, but he's now hitting .324, and he leads the team with 4 homers and 32 RBIs. You know, he's really been productive at the plate as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, Joey does an outstanding two-way player, and you know, the team leader, and just everything he does is you know, high level for us. So you know, that was just a hustle play too. I don't know if everybody knows like what that game was. It was just a ground ball to third base. Just Joey, mm-hmm. Joey hustled out, and Preston Glad at the end. Couple at bats ahead of him, you know, moved the runner over to third base, which allowed us to do that too. So just excellent execution there in the bottom of the 6th.
Well, your team finished the regular season on a 3-game winning streak. You guys swept the doubleheader against Urbandale on Monday, and both of those games were pitcher's duels as well. Will Morris tossed a 4-hitter and had 9 strikeouts in a 4-1 win in the opener, and then Tripp Rawlings threw a 3-hitter with 8 strikeouts in a 1-0 victory in the nightcap. You know, you now have 5 different starters who have combined for 25 wins, led by Sean Stewart with a 6-1 record. Now, I know we talked about this the other night a little bit, but do you think this is the deepest pitching staff that you've ever had, or one of them anyway?
You know, we've had some really deep staffs, but, you know, I was this morning just kind of going through and thinking about, we have all conference and all district meetings coming up, and who's going to be, you know, who I would nominate for that. And I'm like, I think we have 5 pitchers who are very, very worthy of first or second team all conference honors. And I know that's not possible when there's, I think, 4 spots and 5 right. Centennial pitchers. But, you know, so I know somebody's probably not going to get it, but I think they're incredibly deserving, and just the maturity that our everybody on our staff has shown throughout the year. They've just really gotten calm in pressure situations and relaxed, and yeah, I'm very very excited about everybody's development.
Well, your pitching staff has combined for a 2.24 ERA, which ranks 2nd in Class 4A, and you've certainly relied heavily on those guys to come through for you, especially in these last 3 games when your offense combined for just 6 runs. For the season, your team is averaging 5.8 runs per game, and that's about a run and a half fewer than a year ago. But you told me the other night that you're not too concerned about the offensive production because, you know, you guys have seen some good pitchers as well, haven't you?
Yeah, the CML is just, you know, a state tournament game every day that you go out there, and you know, we see, I think we've seen ones and twos just about the whole year. So, you know, and I know that's what you're going to see when you come to Substate. You don't see anybody starting a three or a four. And I think it's got us really well prepared. But statistically, yeah, you're going to probably not have as good a statistics as if you were going out there and facing teams, sixth, seventh best pitchers every night. And so I'm not really concerned that, you know, we have a great approach at the plate and guys very well disciplined and, you know, and they're handling, you know, a pop out very well. You know, they're not letting that affect future at bats or they're not taking it to the defense. So, you know, I think they have a good mindset and I'm very positive about what they're doing.
Well, let's break down your Substate bracket a little bit. Your team will host Marshalltown in a quarterfinal game on Friday at 7 p.m. The Bobcats are 5-30 on the season and they've lost by 10 or more runs 17 times. So on paper, it kind of looks like a mismatch. Are you telling the guys, though, that the regular season doesn't matter anymore and you know, they've still got to be ready to show up and play?
Well, yeah. And, you know, when you're old like I am, you've been around a long time and you've seen weird things happen. And we know that that's certainly possible. So our focus right now is totally on Marshalltown. I know they have a really good coaching staff. I'd expect, you know, trick plays, a lot of pickoff plays. They'll play small ball against us and they'll just do whatever they can to try to scrap out some runs and keep us off the board. So, you know, we're going to have to be very well prepared and we're going to have to come out and play our best.
Well, I don't want you to divulge your pitching plans unless you want to, but you obviously have a lot of different guys you could go to. You know, have you put a plan together for what you're going to do?
We have, yeah.
All right. Well, with the win, we'll leave it at that. Your team could receive a bye, excuse me, in the semifinal round, and then you would host the Substate final next Wednesday. Now, the other quarterfinal matchups are Roosevelt versus Fort Dodge and Dowling Catholic versus Ames. You've already faced all of those teams with the exception of Fort Dodge, and that's the only team in that group with a losing record, and they're just below the 500 mark. You know, so whoever emerges from that side of the bracket is really going to have to earn their way to the Substate final, aren't they?
Yeah, it's an unbelievably competitive Substate. You've got Ames, who's a conference champion, and they've got that Jeffrey kid, who's a great pitcher, and then you've got Dowling, who's Dowling, and they've got Baumler as a pitcher, and then you've got Roosevelt, who's a conference champion, and they got a couple great pitchers. Fort Dodge is a really good young, I know they're very young, but a really good team, very talented, kind of one of those teams that you look for in the future to be really, really good. So, you know, any one of those four teams, whoever comes out of there is going to be on a roll and definitely have momentum going for them.
Well, yeah, like you mentioned, that Dowling versus Ames game, you know, could feature a matchup between Baumler and Jeffrey, who are, you know, two of the state's best pitchers. And obviously, if the team that wins that game, you know, then follows with another victory on Monday, you know, you guys could see, you know, either one of them in the Substate final. Do you think your guys would like another crack at Ames since that was the team that knocked you out last year?
You know what, I think our guys are going to be excited about whoever they see. I think Ames would add some motivation, but I also think, you know, if you play Dowling or Roosevelt or Fort Dodge, you know, all those teams have given us battles in the past, and you know, there's going to be motivation there, and certainly with state tournament berth on the line, I think our guys are going to be motivated no matter who we see.
Well, Coach, we'll talk with Joey about the upcoming draft here shortly, but before I let you go, I just wanted to get some quick thoughts from you about the opportunity that's ahead of him. The draft begins on Sunday, and I know he's been projected by many to be a second-round pick. You have to be thrilled for him, but I know he's had to deal with a lot of interviews with teams over the last few weeks. How do you think he's handling everything?
Yeah, Joe's an amazing young man. This is not an easy time. And for people that have never gone through it, probably don't understand the demand on Joey's time to interview. And those will be, what, 1 or 2 hour long interviews every time he's talking to general managers and so on from organizations. It has to be incredibly stressful. And he's handled it with such grace and continued to be such a kind and thoughtful and caring teammate and motivating and a great leader on the team. So, you know, just a tremendous young man. I'm so excited about his future, and I'm so hoping that Sunday goes exactly the way that he wants it to go, and he has success there.
Well, we'll talk to him here shortly. But Coach, thanks a lot for your time today. I appreciate it, and good luck on Friday night.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, well, my other guest today is a senior pitcher and outfielder for the Jaguars, and he was recently named Iowa's Gatorade Player of the Year. He was also named an All-American and an All-Region pick by the National High School Baseball Coaches Association. I mentioned his hitting stats earlier, and on the mound, he has compiled a 4-2 record with a 1.26 ERA, and he's racked up 76 strikeouts in just 39 innings of work. He's Joey Oakes. Bookie. Joey, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you committed to play for Iowa during your freshman year, and I think it was during your sophomore season when your name started to surface as a potential draft pick in 2024. And I know you said at that time that you weren't even, you know, even thinking about the draft, but now it's almost here, and regardless of what decision you make, you know, you'll be playing on a different level next year. Is it hard to believe that your high school career is almost over?
Yeah, it's crazy. I remember when I was a young freshman getting into this program, and now it's like just like that. I'm a senior, and I only have one game left, like, for sure. And then after that, we got to win that game. Then we got two more, and then we got to win that game. We got more, and I think it's crazy. It's finally coming to an end. It feels like this is all I ever remember. So,
well, we talked with Coach about your team's three victories over the last two nights, and of course, you had the game-winning RBI versus Valley last night. On Monday, I wasn't there, but I read where you made a catch in the outfield and then threw a one-hop laser to first base to double off a runner. Can you describe what happened on that play?
Yeah, so it was interesting. It was a hard hit ball, so I was going back on it, and it was kind of drifting back. The wind was blowing out the right field that day, and I was playing new position, so I didn't get the best read on it, but I got to it, and I think the guy was kind of fooled, he thought I was going to drop, and I got a good read on it, got a good throw, and I got him at first.
Well, your future is obviously, you know, on the mound, but I'm sure you're just cherishing all these opportunities that you have right now to either make a play in the field or to get a big hit, aren't you?
Yeah, every time I can go on the field and get a hit, I mean, it's a great opportunity. I have a lot of fun doing it, and I'm really excited for these next couple of games.
Well, we talked with Coach about the season up to this point. There have definitely been a lot of highs this season, and, you know, just a few bumps in the road. Do you feel pretty good about where the team is at heading into the postseason?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. I think our culture as a whole has came a lot better from the start of the year. Not that it was bad or anything, but I think it's at its peak right now. I think we're peaking at the right time as a team, and just we're hitting the ball. We're getting great pitching staff. I think our pitching staff's one of the best in the state, and I think this is going to be really exciting moving on to the postseason.
We broke down the sub-state bracket earlier. I know Coach doesn't want you to look beyond Friday, but assuming you guys do win that game, you know, do you have a preference for who you would play in the sub-state final? Would you like another crack at Ames?
I mean, I would, but I think either one of those four teams that we're going to have a great chance of beating, and we're going to have a great motivation facing any of those teams. It's going to be fun. We'd see Dallin and Baumler, and I think it's really, really fun facing him. We've seen him the past couple of years, and every time it's a really good game. It was a hell of a game.
Ooh. Well, that's okay. It's a podcast, so we can drop a word okay. there. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, could you drop that?
No worries. Well, I know you have some things up in the air with the draft coming up and what could happen there, but, you know, if you are able to finish out the season and lead this team to the state tournament for the first time ever, you know, what would that mean to you?
I mean, that means something different. I mean, last couple of years we've came up short, and I think getting it this year, getting that crack at state and going to state, I think that's going to be really important for our team, and it's going to be a great, great thing.
Well, let's talk about the draft a little bit now. I know a lot of people in Ankeny will be very interested in it, not just because of you, but also because of Brody Brecht, who's a potential first-round pick. Now, Brody spent 3 years at Iowa, and you've been committed to the Hawkeyes for that same length of time, so I'm sure you guys have had a chance to talk a little bit. You know, did Brody give you any advice about what to expect with the draft, you know, since he's been through this process before?
Yeah, he's been a great, leader. I mean, ever since I was a sophomore, like you said, the draft's kind of coming up, and he'd always be feel free to reach out, and I'd reach out to him a couple of times, and when I committed to Iowa, he was there, and I think he's just a really great human, and I wish the best for him.
Well, Brody's obviously in a different situation than you now, having already played 3 years of college ball. You know, I think a lot of people are expecting you to turn pro with where you are projected to be taken, but you do still have that option of going to Iowa. I know the Iowa coaches have been at, you know, some of your games. I'm sure they'd love to have you come to Iowa City, but do you think they're preparing for the possibility that you may not, you know, play for the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, Iowa's my dream school, but my eventual goal is to become an MLB pitcher and pitch for the big leagues for the longest time, and I think this Sunday I'll have an opportunity to do either way, and I think it's up to me to decide which is the best decision for me and my family.
Well, I know you've been interviewing with a lot of teams over the last few weeks. You know, have you enjoyed this process, or has it been a little nerve-wracking?
I think it's fun. I mean, not a lot of people get to go through this process, and just going through this process and still having fun with it, I think it's the most important part. I kind of just treat it like just like a job interview. You know, I mean, I have fun doing it, and I talk to them, and it's nice and easy for me, and I get to go to the field and talk with my friends and play with my friends. I think it's a good time.
Do you know how many of the teams that you've talked to?
Yeah, all of them.
All of them. Wow. What's the most common question that the teams ask you?
They usually ask kind of the same questions, like what I do outside of baseball, kind of my mindset when I'm on the mound, how I attack hitters, different things like that.
Do they like the fact that you've been a multi-sport guy throughout high school?
Yeah, I get a lot of questions on that as well, like how basketball kind of inflected with my baseball build-up this year, and just how competitive I am outside of baseball.
Well, even though the teams are interviewing you, you know, have you had chances to ask them questions, you know, about their organizations, or are there some things that you want to know about them?
Yeah, I usually ask them about like their development development pitching wise, and how they think that they separate themselves from different programs, and why I should go there instead of going to Iowa, and why they think that. And I think those are important questions, especially with the decision coming up, just getting to know them and getting to know the people in the organization and kind of what they do.
Do you see like some different approaches that organizations take as far as developing pitchers?
Yeah, so it's different because some small market teams like really take their time with developing their draft guys more than the other teams because they have less money, so they put more towards the draft. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, do you get the sense that there are certain teams that are highly interested in drafting you?
Yeah, a little bit, but not like crazy because I've never really been through it. But some of the teams have talked to me more than others.
Well, Brady told me that he has an advisor who has been handling a lot of the communication with teams here of late. Do you have someone advising you as well?
Yep. Did it like last fall. I got with him, and it's been great ever since. Like, it's nice and easy for me.
Well, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here as far as your specific conversations with teams, but you know, let me ask you this. Have you reached the point with some teams where you are starting to negotiate with them about certain things, whether it's the signing bonus or something else, you know, or are those conversations maybe coming up a little closer to the draft?
Yeah, I think those conversations usually come like the day before, the day of the draft.
Gotcha. Were you kind of ready for this to get over with?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it's crazy because like the build up, I mean, the last 2 years I've kind of heard about it since sophomore year about the MLB draft, and it's kind of coming up now and I got to make a big decision. So it's like, it's kind of crazy. I was really like, it's happening now.
Yeah. Well, hey, Joe, I know it's been a crazy busy week for you, so I really appreciate you taking the time to come in here today, and good luck with the game Friday and then with the draft on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in today. I know it's a very busy week for them. Ankeny Centennial baseball coach Mark High and senior pitcher Joey Oakey. Good luck to Joey with the draft on Sunday. It should be a lot of fun to see where him and Brody Brecht end up. I apologize for my voice being a little hoarse today. I'm still trying to recover from an 850-mile drive home from Tennessee on Monday. That's a long story that I'll have to tell sometime, maybe on a rodcast or something. But anyway, thanks again to my guests for coming in. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.